Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in part 109 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And actually every message I preach or teach on has to do with God's life living in you, because if His life doesn't live in you, that means the Spirit, His Spirit. And remember that the Spirit of Christ, He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, is in you. So when His Spirit is in you, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in you. If His Spirit is not in you, then when you die and on the day of judgment, you will not raise from the dead to be judged favorably by the Lord, but you'll be before the great white throne of judgment, and you will not be happy at all. You'll be terrified. This is program number 211, and if you would like to have a copy of it, please mention whether you want an audio tape or a CD. It's free, and also the postage and handling is included, free of charge. Right now, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this message. Lord, we are in Your kingdom. You are extending Your kingdom from heaven to this earth. And we must keep ourselves in this world, this present world. We're in this present world, but we're not a part of it. If we are in Your kingdom, we must keep ourselves in this world as we will be in the kingdom of heaven. Because You're the God. You are the one who created heaven and earth, and You're repossessing it through those who believe everything You say. We lost that kingdom, humanity lost that kingdom when we, Adam and Eve first, disbelieved Your word with something, as most people would say, is just simply touching a piece of fruit from the wrong tree and eating of it. Yes, this is the way it really is, and You're the king of the kingdom, and no one or will disobey You unless they want to be outside the kingdom. Every word, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word, believing every word that proceeds from the mouth of the God that is alive, the living God. Lord, I pray, I know You always do, be with me, speak through me in this service, that souls, as many as You will, and You, I know that it is not anything that You love to see souls burn in hell. You're chasing the world because You chasten those that You love. You don't love the sin that they're committing, but You're chastening them in hopes that they'll cry out to You for forgiveness. Send down the latter rain of this message, Lord God, that souls will be saved and the church will be strengthened in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. We have some letters here. Where's the first letter from?
From Canby, Oregon.
Yeah, here in the United States, Oregon, the state of Oregon. Beautiful state. Okay, let's hear it.
I was so happy reading your letters from Christians all over the world, and to find that the Tony Alamo Church Ministries are still out in the world saving souls. I was a visiting Christian in Saugus, California, then moved to Fort Smith to serve the Lord for 5 years as a visiting Christian. Circumstances had me move back to Oregon, and I have missed the church every day. I am sickened when I see or hear things about the church being a cult, and the lies about many things. You know what is said, no need to list them. Those who don't know You all don't know God. Stay strong in the Lord and fight the good fight. Karen from Canby, Oregon.
Praise the Lord. All right, then the next letter.
from Kenya, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony, greetings to you and the brothers and sisters of Tony Olamo Christian Ministries in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the 80 Bibles, Messiah books, and newsletters we have received. That's just a drop in the ocean.
I turned in on the television the other day, and I believe it was the day before yesterday, and I saw Jan and Paul Crouch of the big network handing out Bibles in Haiti. And there are many things on their network, a lot of things on their network that I don't agree with. But I think that because of the fact that we're distributing Bibles, that they too decided to do so, and they're distributing millions of Bibles. I just hope and pray that they're the King James Version. But I was really surprised, and just see how we have influenced other people. The people in Haiti were extremely happy to, they were just coming in line, you know, and one of them was just handing a Bible to each one of the people. And praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what they're doing there now. And if you people need Bibles, get them from them if you want, because we're not getting as many, you know, many tithes and offerings as we would like, because we just keep praying that the Lord will send the money, and we know that if we keep His commandments, He will. But it costs a lot of money to just hand out Bibles like that. And but thank God that there's another entity now where you can receive Bibles. They're Catholics, and I just disagree with the doctrine of Catholicism because it's false. And but praise the Lord for them handing out Bibles. Amen.
Amen.
That is very unlike Catholics. They don't want you to read the Bible. I just pray that what I saw, I just saw the end of it. I just pray that they're doing that everywhere in the world. Amen. Glory to God. I love to give good commentaries on people when I see them do good, but they do so much evil that, but maybe God will, you know, give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to where they'll begin doing everything that the Lord says to do. Okay, in the meantime, hey, Jan and Paul, you can send us a few million of them, because there's a lot of people that write us that want some, okay? Give some a tithe and offering to a work that doesn't believe in shaving the truth or telling people a bunch of damnable lies, all right? Okay, so then where's the next letter from?
The rest of this
The rest of this letter, okay. I got caught up in my joy that they're distributing Bibles. Hopefully they're the King James. Then what?
Many people here are being saved, encouraged, and blessed by reading your literature. May God richly bless you. Every blessing to you, Pastor Amos from Kenya, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
From Cotabato, Philippines. Dear Tony Olamo Church...
You know, I'm sure we influenced them to do that, because they've never done this before. All they're interested in is getting more and more television stations and to let to tell all the heresy that they do. All right? Now, when they give a Bible, there's, if it's the King James, there's no heresy in there. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Maybe they got saved through our ministry.
Amen.
Glory to God. Okay, then what?
Dear Tony Olamo Church Ministries, greetings once again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. I am so thankful to our God Almighty by using His servant, Pastor Tony Olamo, to send to us the soul-winning literature. It was on June 1st, 2006 at 2 in the afternoon. I claimed the baggage full of literature and some books from Pastor Tony Olamo in the post office near to our barangay. And since the seminar is going on, I arranged the materials for my distribution. And in the evening before the departure, I started to distribute the literature with my young people and continue distributing in the second day as the last day of our seminar. I am happy because of their positive reaction that this soul-winning literature of Pastor Tony Alamo is very commendable and inspiring, that really touched the hearts and minds of every individual who read his message, and some also committed to work for the glory of God. Pastor Alamo, according to them, we truly were used by God as an instrument, so that people know that there is a God that moves and rules in the entire universe and the whole of humanity. They are planning also to share the teaching of Pastor Alamo in the church, especially in the Sunday school and some extension service programs in the church. Last June 12, 2006, we had the International Interministerial Meeting in our municipality of Midsayap, which composes of different denominations whose stand and belief is not contrary to what the Bible says. 25 pastors attended from different denominations, and after the meeting, I gave them an announcement that I brought my Christian soul-winning literature from Pastor Tony Alamo, and I equally distributed the materials. Some are not contented to bring only a few pieces of materials, but they are asking to have more because they wanted to share also what they learned from the man of God to their congregations. I am thankful for the wonderful response of my fellow workers, and they promised me to help next time with distribution, if you can still send some. Another gathering...
Oh, yes, we can still send some literature and Bibles. And if we run out of Bibles, call Shannon and Paul. All right, then what?
Another gathering of pastors from 5 municipalities in our provinces will be conducted. This is a bigger fellowship for all pastors and ministers, and I will let the president of Palma, composed of 5 towns or municipalities, to include in the agenda of my distribution of the materials. My prayer is, as they read the materials, there will be fire that burns in their heart, and they will commit their life to God for a greater service. I have still some literature left, but I will not stop to distribute it with my young people until I completely finished all. God bless, in Christ's service, Pastor Jesse from Cotabato, Philippines.
Well, Pastor Jesse, God bless you as well. You're doing a terrific job. Keep it up, and we'll always send you literature and Bibles, whatever you need. Okay, so now, Sharon, we're going to read a couple of verses from the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. And the reason that we're doing this is because almost all the evangelists on Jan and Paul's network and on other networks, there's so much heresy. If I ran this network or any network, on the network, there's 24 hours a day. And there's a lot of one-hour programs, a lot of half-hour programs on there. If I was running the network and I heard heresy on there, I would immediately tell them, look at Reverend Hagee, Reverend Parsley, all you different reverends, quote reverends, unquote, you're preaching heresy here. Now stop it or I'm going to have to put you off the network. Now a network, I can get a network myself. It runs about $100,000 a month, and it could turn into, you know, part of the, you say, well, God, you've got to put some of these heretics, a lot of people think, or else you wouldn't be able to pay for the network. So if they charge, say, $5,000 an hour, that's $5,000 times 24. So that's a good money-paying thing. And the even if it was $1,000 an hour, that's $24,000 a day. In 4 days, you pay for the $100,000 that it costs to have a network. But you have to get all the equipment and everything else. But they have these satellites in the air, and on each satellite they have 12 networks. And so there are networks available, so if anyone in Radio Land would like to sponsor us with a network and pay it up for a year and get us the equipment, then I will run the network for you and police that network for you to make sure that there's no heresy going over it. You have the Crystal Cathedral where they held the big honorary thing for all the popes, and the popes are the ones that have caused all the wars, the Vatican, the city of Rome was where Satan's seat is, the Bible tells us. And they are the ones responsible for creating all these wars. This fake war. This is the first time that we know of that the United States started a war. And it was, and everybody, I would say the vast portion of the population in the United States and the world believed that it was a fake war, that it wasn't supposed to have happened at all, and it's caused people, all these wars are causing people to hate those of us in the United States. And Jen and Paul put these kind of people on, and they were having the celebration for the Vatican at the Crystal Cathedral, and Jan and Paul were there. Benny Hinn was there, and Benny Hinn was there at the funeral of the Pope, and was saying that Catholicism is good, and even though they say that they're eliminating the Bible from schools. And Jack Van Impe, he says, I'm a Catholic and proud to be one, and he's as haywire as a goose. Yeah, all of them. But I wouldn't allow those kind of people on my network at all. And Benny Hinn keeps going from, you know, wearing a priestly outfit, a Catholic priest outfit, and then when he gets rebuked too much for it, then he'll take it off. He's like a very sickening type character. But I would definitely, and they're preaching this heresy that Jesus had a different blood than we do, and so there's, I want to again read two verses from the second chapter of Hebrews, which is verse 14 and verse 17, to prove to you without a doubt the Word of God is the kingdom of God, and therefore if you're of this kingdom, you receive everything the King of the Kingdom says. The King of the Kingdom says that he was flesh, blood and bone, and he had no special blood. Even Isaiah 53 says the same thing. He wasn't any different than the rest of us, with the exception that he had the Spirit of God in him, but he had flesh, blood and bone, and it was human flesh, blood and bone. God cannot die, so he had to come into the world as a human, so he could die and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And it was not God's blood. God doesn't have blood. That's why he had to come as a human. And so Reverend Hagee and just so many of them, but the last one I heard was Hagee. He said that two times, even after I have rebuked him on the air. I don't mean the man any harm, but he's harming a lot of people, because when people think that Jesus was not flesh, blood, and bone, they say, well, of course he can keep all the commandments. And then they keep saying, nobody's perfect. Well, you'll be perfect or you will not enter the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says. There are many scriptures in the Bible that state that we must be perfect. And especially the New Testament, where it says we must not have any sin on our soul to enter the kingdom of God. And chapter 8. That tells us that if we walk in the Spirit of the Lord, amen?
Amen.
That we must walk in. There's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you know what book that's in?
Romans.
Romans chapter 8, amen. And so there's no condemnation. Now, if you're not condemned, then you're perfect. If you murder somebody in this world, then the law of the land could, if you are just a regular person, not, say, President Clinton, former President Clinton, where he went and murdered all the, ordered the murder of all the people at Waco. Now, they won't suffer anything on this earth, except a lot of angry people will be angry at him. And Bush, you know, there's not going to receive any condemnation, because he bombed a bunch of innocent men, women, and children, and President Clinton bombed 50 countries, killing millions of innocent citizens, people that never did anything wrong to to him or anyone. And the people of Waco didn't do anything that would hurt anybody that we know of. And so nothing's going to happen to him in this world, but at the judgment bar of God, his soul is going to be sent into hell unless he repents immediately. And before he gets there. And so these people condone all this stuff. Like I've heard Reverend Hagee says, support President Bush. He's our friend. Then some of them say he's like the Messiah. He's none of those things. He is following the orders of the Pope. He's a puppet. And I'd rather die than obey the orders of the Pope. So anyway, let's read a couple of these verses here. And I'm paraphrasing, but you can read it the same meaning in the King James Version, or probably NIV, any of them, they're all the same, that Jesus came into the world like us. Okay, go ahead.
In so many words, the Lord is saying in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14.
Yeah, I say in so many words because I'm paraphrasing. Then go ahead.
Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, Jesus also became flesh and blood.
Yeah, not godly blood, because God doesn't have blood. He had to become a human to have human blood. Genuine human blood. Okay, then what?
Jesus also became flesh and blood by being born in human form. For only as a human being could he die.
Yes. God can't die, so he had to become a human being so he could die for the sins of the people of the world. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
God could never have died. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death.
Right, because there has to be a sacrifice. There's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. That's why all the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. But when the true sacrifice came, he had to die for the sins of the world. God himself came into the world. The Word of God came into the world and died as a human and died for the sins of the people because he shed his precious blood for us. Now, that all the animal sacrifices, that was the major part of the law. That's over with, the major part of the law. But the law that God wrote with his own finger, he didn't even trust Moses to write it, but he wrote it with his own finger, the moral law, that can never be broken unless you want to go to hell. And it's so easy to do that. I remember when I was a kid, I never committed adultery or fornication when I was a child. I never did anything like that. And it was easy to do that. And it's easy not to steal. And it's easy not to lie. So easy. But these people that are such liars, they're on these networks. And we really need to have a network where people tell the truth. Especially the truth of God. The Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God. So when the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, that means believe on the entire Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, and thou shalt be saved. Not only believe that it's the truth, but do what it says. Because if you just believe and then don't do it, you're a sinner. All right, then what?
Only in this way could he deliver those who had the fear or lived in their lives as slaves to the fear of death.
Right, okay, so now, we fear death before we saw somebody raised from the dead that was a human. But if after we saw that he rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we walk in his spirit, we know that we don't have to fear death because we never die. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what that is saying. Though we were slaves to the fear of death, but when I see Jesus saying how we can be perfect by walking in the Holy Spirit. And then to prove that we'll never die, as he said we never would, He died, his body, his chaff, because the body that we live in is chaff, because flesh and blood shall not enter the kingdom of heaven, right?
Right.
So it's just a husk that the real us is living in. And so when I see Jesus that kept all the commandments, and he said, if we do all the things that he says that he did, in other words, some people, all these people are saying, you don't have to do any works anymore. Jesus did it all. He said, oh, no. He said, if you do what I say and the instructions that I give, then you're my friend. Then the friend will let you into heaven. But if he's at all unfriendly with you, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. He says, I am your friend if you do everything I say. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we see what he did by reading his word. And we see by doing that, he says, if the same spirit that dwelt in me, that rose me from the dead, is in you, then you also shall rise from the dead and live eternally in the kingdom of heaven. And so, by him dying and resurrecting from the dead, he took all the fear of death away from me, because I know his rules and regulations. I've got a good mind. I've got a good spirit in me. And I know that the Spirit of the Lord is living in me, because he talks to me and I talk to him all the time. And we have a communication going over here. And you better communicate with the Lord if you intend to be in the kingdom of God. All right? That's just very simple. So it says that this takes the fear of death away from us, because the instructions to escape death are in the Word of God. Therefore, when he abides in us and we abide in him, that's simple. Well, because him is the Word of God, okay? So if we let the Word of God abide in us, we just keep reading the Word, and the Word is spirit and life, and the Word is Jesus, and we abide, we live by it. Abiding means to live. Amen?
Amen.
And he abides in us, and then we abide. We are in the Bible. We're abiding in him. Amen?
Amen.
Then whatsoever we ask on top of everything else, he gives it to us, so far as it's the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so why fight it? It's bigger than the both of us. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. And so he takes the complete fear of death away, because we know if we're in him and he's in us, that we never die. That's if. Now, if is a little word with a huge meaning. Because if you're not abiding in him and he's not abiding in you, then you will not enter into the kingdom of God, but spend eternity in the lake of fire. In hell and the lake of fire. If you sin willingly, knowingly, and refuse to repent. Okay, now go ahead.
Only in this way could he deliver those who had the fear or lived in their lives as slaves to the fear of death or to the fear of dying.
Right. We know that he's God because he rose from the dead. And then 500 people saw him ascend into the kingdom of God. And after that, they said they're supposed to, he commanded them to tarry to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Only 120 of them showed up to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to have the power, the strength, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, the leading and guiding and direction of the Holy Spirit in this world. The rest of them, what happened? They didn't want it. They thought it was a joke. Even after seeing him ascend into the kingdom of heaven in a cloud, after seeing him killed and then raising from the dead. These are powerful things, amen?
Amen.
Okay, so they have no confidence, and they still are under the fear of death, because they know they're not keeping the commandments of the Lord, and they fear death because they're not abiding in him and he's not abiding in them. And rightly so, because they saw all these wonderful things that have happened. Well, some people think that sending a rocket to the moon, and I have I have thought that all that was done in a studio over at Universal International or Warner Brothers or someplace. And there are millions of people that believe that. I saw the astronauts trying to justify that it was not done in the studio, that they really went to the moon. They can do all kinds of things in a movie studio with all these new computers and things that they have. They make you think that is, you know, the end of the world will be tomorrow. They can make you think that they're walking on Mars. They'll probably do that. That is, make you believe that. And even if they did, what good is it if you walk on the moon or on Mars and your soul is lost? Because you're going to be walking on coals of fire when your life is over with. You're going to be in flames forever. Okay, then what else?
Chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore it was necessary...
Now this is another proof, okay? The Apostle Paul, some people don't believe the Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews, but he did. Okay, it's obvious. They say that, the words are not like Paul's. Well, the words were not like Paul's anyway, because it's the Holy Spirit dealing through him, just like as it is with me right now. These are not my words. Everybody can tell you that I don't talk this way when I'm not being anointed. Amen?
Amen.
Do I talk this way?
No.
How do I talk? You're giving me an inferiority complex. No, I know I don't talk like this. Okay, then go ahead.
Therefore, it was necessary for Jesus to do something, and that was to be in every respect like us.
Every respect. So, Reverend Hagee, again, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, that Jesus was a man in every respect as we are. Why? The Bible says so. And again, I believe it's 1 John that says, anyone that says that Christ did not come in the flesh is an antichrist. Now, in order for you to get off the hook with this, you better confess that on television, that you were in error. Otherwise, there's hundreds of thousands of people, or under maybe hundreds of millions of people that will never believe you. And when you stand before the Lord doesn't allow antichrists to enter the kingdom of God. Now, maybe your daddy taught you those things, because he was a preacher too. But you're lying, and he lied if he taught you that. Go by the Bible, not your daddy or your mama or anybody else. Okay, then what?
Therefore, it was necessary for Jesus to do something, and that was to be in every respect like us, we humans. We became his brothers and sisters so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. He then could offer a sacrifice that would take away the former sins of the people who desired to be saved.
All right, now let's go into my message. First, before we do, though, I want to say, we have a dictionary here, and we're going to read the dictionary. Most people in the Western Hemisphere have no idea what a kingdom is. And so if you're a Christian, then you need to know what a kingdom is. And because you're living the kingdom life, not the democratic life or the republican life, or you're not living the communist life. Now, these are all man-made kingdoms, and they're always looking for some type of all people, no matter where you go in the world, they all seem to want peace and safety and happiness and joy, and they all have come up with different ideas of how to make that come to pass, such as the one world government. They believe that having a kingdom there where there'll be peace and tranquility is just have everybody be sinners and take the word of God out of them so that no one will be condemning anybody. But it isn't we who condemn you, it's the word of God. The Lord did not come into this world to condemn it, because it was already condemned because of what Adam did and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. It's a condemned world. So he came into the world to tell you how to be saved. Everybody was lost and on their way to hell. So Jesus came into the world saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And before him, John the Baptist was saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Well, a bunch of Pharisees came to him and said, baptize us. He says, I'm not going to baptize you, in so many words, until I see you keeping the commandments of the Lord. Bring forth meat or deeds that are worthy, that line up with the word of God. And when I see you do that, then I'll baptize you. But he refused to baptize the Pharisees and Sadducees, but the sinners that came weeping because they knew they were sinners. And he was telling them that the Messiah is going to be at hand, and that he is, he says, indeed, I baptize you with water. But the Messiah, when he comes, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Amen?
Amen.
The fire of God. Okay, now, a kingdom is not a democracy. I'll explain more in the message of what a kingdom is, but go ahead and read it. This is from what, the Hartford?
This is from the Oxford.
Oxford, okay.
Then, one kingly function, authority or power, sovereignty, kingship.
Sovereignty, okay. We have a country here, it's supposed to be one nation, not the United Nations with all the other ungodly nations, but one nation, and a nation that is under God. All these ungodly nations that we have merged with now are saying that we don't believe in you, God, and all these people are saying, God bless America. Why should God bless America when we've joined with the Antichrist world government? The world government is not the kingdom of God, it's the kingdom of Satan. Okay? The Bible says so. There's many kingdoms, and one of them is the kingdom of God, and one is the kingdom of Satan. And then there's the bird kingdom and the mineral kingdom, and then there's the kingdom of fish and beasts and so on, but they're all under the kingdom of God. They do what the Lord says. The only ones that don't do what the Lord says are humans. They're out of control, and God is going to make the universe go out of control. The moon is going to turn to blood. The sun is going to scorch the earth. And then it's going to, and many people will pray to die. And then the sun is going to be blotted out. Amen?
Amen.
All these things are going to happen. And then stars are going to fall out of heaven. And everything's going to go crazy. Say it. The door to hell will open up, and all sorts of beasts will come out that will sting people. And people will pray to die, but they won't be able to do that. We're living in that hour. And the Lord is unleashing all kinds of diseases, infirmities. These are called pestilences in the Bible. Okay, now, and then there's so much more, but I've got a different message today. The kingdom of God. Now, you people don't know what a kingdom is. Then what?
To an organized community having a king as its head.
Okay, that's what a kingdom is. An organized community. Now, a lot of us on earth here are organizing communities, and God said that he made those the leaders of his kings and priests. And so each community that is of the Lord, that is gathered together to keep the King of Kings commandments, we're a little kings down here, but we still are big in God's eyes because we do exactly what he says. And if we don't do exactly as he says, then we're not of his kingdom. And the Lord tells us to kick them out of the kingdom. Because the kingdom of heaven is here on earth now. We, the kings of the Lord, are commanded to tell people exactly what to do. They say we're fanatics, but... And I don't think that's fanatical to do what the Lord says. You people that don't do what the Lord says are fanatics for Satan. Okay? And you're crazy because you're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Then go ahead.
A monarchical state or government.
Yeah. Okay, then what? It's a monarchy. Now, keep going.
Three, the territory or country subject to a king.
Now, Ho Chi Minh had a kingdom. And he had murdered millions, 50, 100 million people because they disagreed with him. If you're going to be in the kingdom, you have to agree with the king. And Ho Chi Minh's slogan was, if they argue with you or they don't do what you tell, cut their head off, and that ends the problem. No more problem. And then you've got Idi Amin, who is like a king over his one of the countries in Africa, and if you don't do it, he says he kills you. And there's other kingdoms on earth. There's the United Kingdom that's in England, where they all agree they're united to do what the king says. But now the Lord wants to extend his kingdom to this earth, and he's already did it by sending Jesus. And all those that are of his kingdom do exactly what he says. And many, what they call local churches, have opened here and there throughout the world. And they are doing exactly what the Lord tells them to do. Thank God. God has used us to inspire different people or kings to open up communities where they are the king of that community. In other words, they're there as Adam was put on the earth. He says, don't let anything come into this garden that is that disagrees with me. And Adam, his wife, who is also Adam, Adam and Eve are called Adam, she took from the tree and ate, which was what you may think a small thing, but any disobedience to God causes you to be imperfect. And a lot of people enjoy the preachers and teachers that are saying no one is perfect, so that way it relieves them of having a conscience. Their consciences are never bothered because they think it's okay not to be perfect. But those type of people are not of the kingdom of God, because God commands that you are perfect, or else you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you're walking in the Holy Spirit, then there's no condemnation, which means you're perfect in God's eyes. Well, we may see maybe your nose is on the wrong side of your face, and we say he's not perfect or she's not perfect. Or maybe you've got too many pimples, blackheads, whiteheads, whatever you want to call them. And they say, I'm not perfect. That has nothing to do with perfection. Perfection is walking in the Spirit. And it's easy to keep God's commandments when the Spirit of God has entered into you. God upholds everything, the universe, the world, the heavens, the earth, everything. And it's so easy for him to uphold you if you have his word in you on a continuous basis. It's flowing in and through you. And when that happens, you're able to witness and testify to people. And you're able to keep the rules of the kingdom and encourage others to do the same thing. And if they are, through your encouragement or preaching the gospel, through the Lord's encouragement and the Lord's help, and you don't keep the commandments, then you're not of the kingdom, and you have to be put outside the kingdom with the Gentiles. That's simple. This is the word of God. Read the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. Okay, then what is kingdom? From the what's the name of this book?
Oxford
Dictionary. And it's the same thing in Webster's. You then go ahead. Continue on.
The area over which a monarch's rule extends, a realm.
A realm. You know, this is supposed to be the united, or to be united together with one purpose under the U.S. Constitution, which gives us the freedom of speech, just as God does. The freedom to worship God in any way you will. Now, that's so that we don't go out... so that the Catholics can't come and condemn us or burn us at the stake for believing in God, that the government's not to step in to religion, but the government, if it's of, by, and for the people, is supposed to be biblical, because that's how this government was arranged, this kingdom here. We were United States, united together with one belief, under God, sovereign, not one world or merge it in. This is the Antichrist desire for us to merge in with all the other governments, ungodly governments of the world, We fled, the pilgrims fled from the King of England, the United Kingdom, so that we could worship the Lord and praise and thank God, and to have Bibles in schools, and it's guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution. We're constituted. We are we have the Constitution that says that we will be united as a sovereign nation, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for everyone. Not because of the fact that I don't agree with Catholicism, they threw me in prison for 6 years. They said they make things up. They said that, you know, I didn't pay taxes. Well, first of all, we were at that time tax exempt. And so they say, because you don't agree with Catholicism and you don't agree with one worldism, that you're evil. No, you're evil if you believe in it according to God. Now, if you're going to be in God's kingdom, you have to go according to the king's rules. Otherwise, you go to hell in the lake of fire. All right, then what?
For more fully the kingdom of God or of heaven, the spiritual sovereignty of God or Christ, or the sphere over which this extends, in heaven or on earth.
Now, if a king of this community here, one of God's communities here on earth, is bringing forth the gospel and increasing the kingdom of God here on earth by preaching it, and then you would allow somebody to tell you that we're a cult, well, then you're definitely outside the kingdom of God. You disagree with God's kingdom, and so you're a member of the kingdom of Satan. Get to the little bit further down now, where it says the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of God.
Okay.
You are of your God, the devil. You're of your king, the devil. Then what else?
A, more fully, the kingdom of God or of heaven.
So we have a kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And John came preaching the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus said, also repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist said that. Amen?
Amen.
And then Christ came on the scene, and then he baptized Christ, and then the Spirit of God came down from the kingdom of heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he never said that to anybody else. So we all must be in the body of Christ, which is the kingdom of heaven. And it's a very small kingdom. I mean, there's like millions of people there. But in relationship to, when you compare it to the ones that are believe, you know, in themselves as doing whatever they want, rather than the king of heaven and earth, they do not deserve to enter into the kingdom of God. And God says he puts rulers here on earth, and those rulers are, he said, he made us kings and priests. So you must listen to what we say. You say, who do you think you are? It's not who I think I am, it's who God says I am. He said, I'm a king and a priest, all right? And I'm a pastor and I'm a teacher. And I'm an author, a writer, somebody, a scribe that puts down the things that he says. And you have to listen to him, because I give you hundreds of different references to where you can check in the Bible to see if I'm right or wrong. And you'll see that I am right. Read the Bible and you'll see. Okay, then what?
The spiritual sovereignty of God or Christ, or the sphere over which this extends, in heaven or on earth.
Okay, now, let's, you can just look it up in your own dictionary, because I can't spend any more time on this. I'm going to try to get a little bit of message, and we're running out of time. We got 5 more minutes to talk about this message here. Go ahead.
When John the Baptist came on the scene, he proclaimed that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus instructs us to tell everyone in the world that the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Right, if you're of the kingdom. But if you're not of the kingdom, if you're a hypocrite, butt out. Get out of the way. Get out of the church. Okay? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm telling you that because I am of the kingdom of God. I am of the same mind as Christ. The same mind is, he's God. He's the Word of God. I'm the same mind as the Word of God. And he says to put on the mind of God, Christ, He says, and Christ is the Word of God. So put the Word of God on and you'll have the mind of Christ. Okay, then what?
But today people have little or no understanding of what a kingdom is. Many people have their concept of what a kingdom is, and many people are attempting in a carnal state to develop a kingdom, such as today's one world government, which is totally void of the Holy Spirit. We must learn how to understand and to communicate not our ideas of what a kingdom is, but what a kingdom really is. It's very important for people to realize that God, who is our Creator, is the one who chose the concept that we must abide by, the concept of a kingdom, in order to communicate His purpose, His will, and His plan for everyone in the world, all mankind. So the message of the Bible is primarily and most obviously about a kingdom, not a religion. If you don't understand what a kingdom is or kingdoms are, it is impossible for...
Right, it's a lifestyle. I mean, you must live according to the lifestyle that Christ set forth rather than a religion. You have to leave all religions and become members of the kingdom. Amen. Then what?
If you don't understand what a kingdom is or kingdoms are, it is impossible for you to understand the Bible and the Bible's message. So over the past 2,000 years since Christ died, the true concept of the kingdom has been lost because of the so-called modern governments that are in the world today. These new concepts of governing, such as democracy, socialism, communism, atheism, and dictatorships, now the one that we're living in now is an atheistic kingdom, which is so inferior and is soon to be done away with by the Lord.
That's mentioned in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation and many places in the Word of God. Then what?
Most of the people in the world that we live in today know very little or nothing about kingdoms, especially here in the Western Hemisphere, or what we call the Western world. They know very little about the concept of royalty or monarchy, and because of this, it is compounded by the idea that kingdoms are designed to elevate one family. I'll use the British...
Right, like the British UK, they have the Queen. Amen?
Amen.
That's one family. Everybody else is oppressed, but she is exalted and all of her royal family. They can go to school where they want to. They can play where they want to. They can raise all kinds of hell if they want to. And all the rest of the people, if you do anything, you're going to the tower. They don't use the tower anymore. But maybe they do. It's the jail, okay? There's that big tower castle there that I've been in, right near the Tower Bridge. Then what?
I'll use the British as an example here. They have the idea that kingdoms are designed to elevate one family above all other families, and they can subject, for one reason or another, to oppress citizens. Down through history, we read that kingdoms are notorious for having dark histories of atrocities and oppressions, prospering at the expense of the dignity and the value of their citizens.
Well, it's the same thing with the kingdom of heaven. Anyone that doesn't belong to the kingdom of heaven or the body of Christ or God, we don't let into this kingdom. If you don't believe in the Word of God, and like, for instance, the Lord just recently told me to tell everybody not to eat beef, not to eat dairy products or anything like that. And the other day, a couple of people got offended at that. But I want to remind you that in the Old Testament, the Lord had everybody eating wafers on the desert and the wilderness for 40 years. Amen?
Amen.
They didn't eat beef or dairy. And on top of that, they didn't smoke. And so a couple of people were offended because I said, you can't smoke in this kingdom. And you can't, because the Lord told me that He didn't make bodies that could smoke without getting cancer. Now, there are many Christians that I've seen that smoked and they died from cancer. Well, I see my time is up, but this is a very excellent message that you need to hear the rest of, so make sure to tune in tomorrow. Right now, if you want to be a member of the kingdom of heaven, you could say this prayer, and you will be a member, but then you have to remember that you must keep the commandments and of the king. Otherwise, it's not a kingdom anymore. It's you have chosen yourself as the king to be above the commandments of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So to get started, he said, we must pray to him and ask the Lord. We know we're all guilty of sin before we get our sins washed away with the blood of Jesus. So say this so that you can get your sins washed away and so that the Spirit of God can enter into you. Father, I come to you today guilty of sins, and I need for them to be washed away. I know that Jesus Christ is your Son, the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in your precious blood. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. I'm going to keep the King's commandments. I'm going to be perfect because I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Amen. Now, we have, if you want a copy of this tape or the CD, this audio tape or CD, then here's Sharon to show you how to receive it. It's program number 211.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo, Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. So until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you. I'm really happy you received the Holy Spirit, that you received Jesus, that your sins are taken away. Now go and sin no more, lest worse thing happen unto you. And that worst thing would be that you would not have any more forgiveness. So this is the rules of the kingdom, so please obey them for your own soul's sake. Praise the Lord. God bless you.